You're listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world.
We believe God is already at work in your city. We're here to help you ask, what is God doing where I live, and how can I join in?
If you love your city, love the church, and believe God can do amazing things in your city, you're in the right place.
Let's get started. Podcast listeners, you are about to listen to an episode in Season 2 of the City Gospel Movement's podcast. Season 2 is called Visionary Women. Our team is super passionate about this topic, but it's also one we keep hearing leaders like you want to talk about and engage in. Women are essential and sometimes overlook leaders in collaborative church movements, so we are so excited to feature four diverse and innovative women who are shaking up the way the church and cities are talking about evangelism, scripture engagement, discipleship, and young generations. Let's get into our conversation with Hannah Granowski. She's a young leader shaking up the way the church engages the next generation. Hey everybody, I'm Lizzie Burke here on the City Gospel Movement's podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a very special guest with us today, the one, the only Hannah Granowski, who is the founder of Generation Distinct. And you are going to be so enriched by this conversation. Hannah is a young leader who's passionate about her generation, discovering the wrong they were created to make right. And so we're going to hear about her passion for the local church, her heart for this generation, and you are just going to be so encouraged. So Hannah, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. It is such an honor. I'm excited.
Great. Well, we're just going to jump in, Hannah. And I was scanning your Instagram, which was so fun. And I came across this post recently, which really struck me. And I'm just going to read what you wrote. And I really want to hear what motivated you to write this.
Yeah.
You said, Hannah, I'm a young leader who has stayed in the church and who is convinced of her beauty. I see a new wave coming, bringing us back to the core of what the church was originally built on by a group of bold, passionate young leaders 2,000 years ago. I love the local church. Here's to all that's ahead. We're not done. We've only just begun. Mm-hmm. Hannah, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I love that. And I just love how you have this hopeful view of the church, but I want to hear from you. Why do you think you have this hopeful view when so many people in our generation have a much more skeptical view of the church?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the more I study the church, the more I realize that the church is not defined as what the American church has made it to be. And I think so often, especially as leaders in American context, we can become really centralized and focused on what the American church looks like today. But I think what gets me so excited about the power of the local church is that when we look at the roots of what the church was originally built on, it is so aligned with the desires of the next generation. Like if I look at myself, my peers, the next generation coming after me, you know, we're looking for sacrifice. Like we actually long to be a part of something that is making impact. Like we want to rally around a cause. We're not afraid of like getting dirty and getting like into the mess. Like we want to change the world. And what I love is like what I said in that post is that the early church was not built on, you know, this older crowd that were really set in their ways. No, this was literally this fresh, vibrant move of these young leaders who were hungry for something new, and that Jesus actually unleashed them to live out this passionate, crazy call to switch everything upside down and to care for people nobody else was caring for, and to see people that nobody else was seeing, and to actually come together as this family to change culture. And they did. And I just think like that's the most wild thing that has ever been. And so what gets me so excited about the church is that if we really were to make a return back to what the church was originally built on, the next generation couldn't help but flock in those doors, because that is what they're searching for. And so I think I'm so hopeful because I've experienced glimpses of that. I've had the opportunity to be a part of a lot of churches that got that, that understood that this is about a mission of God to literally transform our cultures and our cities. And so when I look at the future of the church, I see that there is a generation ready to get back to what the church has always been about. And I, for one, want to be a part of that. And so I just think that the local church at its best unleashes people to be the world changers God has called them to be and to preach the gospel and fight for justice and shake some things up in this world. And that's what the direction I see the church going in the leadership of the next generation.
Girl, preach. Oh my goodness. I love your passion. And I'm just, oh my gosh, like I love the church, but then being around other people. And I'm sure many of you listeners recognize not everybody has that just core passion for the church.
Yeah.
So Hannah, I love that you champion that.
Thanks.
So now you are traveling around the world and you are speaking and teaching about the church and about the next generation. And you're really, I mean, it's pretty crazy. How old are you, Hannah?
I'm 24.
You're 24 and you are just becoming a key voice in this space. And so I want to know, like, did you think you would be doing this? Like when you're getting on an airplane, you're like, okay, I'm going to go to Jerusalem or I'm going to go to New York City. Are you like, pinch me, like, oh my gosh, this is crazy? Or you're like, no, I had a very strategic plan. This is what I knew I was going to be doing. So yeah. Just unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, the way that God has always worked in my life is that I'm a pretty futuristic person. And so he often gives me visions of the future. And so I remember there was a moment when I was 18, I was at a conference and I saw a young woman get on stage and speak in the midst of a lot of other, you know, older, more experienced, even more male type speakers. Mm-hmm. And I saw a young woman get on stage in front of thousands of people. And it was like this confirmation God impressed upon me that you will do that one day. Hmm. And it was this weird moment of not feeling afraid of it. It just felt so true and so right. And so I just felt this clear message from God that I was called to speak and to use my voice, not to build my own platform, but simply to speak a message that I had known was on my heart since I was a teenager, you know? And, so I kind of was trying to be faithful to that, you know, and I would speak anywhere I could get the opportunity to. And a lot of times it was like youth groups for 15 kids, like mm-hmm. anyone that would let me just speak and
preach
there. And really I was always believing that that was going to come, but also felt like God was saying, like, wait on my timing. It's going to be because of me and not because of how hard you work or what you accomplish. And so now, you know, it's so funny when someone says, oh, your life is so cool. You're jumping on planes, you're preaching, you're speaking. Because what I think I really want to tell to the next generation of leaders and just leaders in general is that like the life looks a lot more glamorous than it really is, right? And that oftentimes I think it's really good even for me to admit, like, yeah, this life is amazing. And I truly believe I'm living out what God has called me to do. And it's not always perfect. And it's not always glamorous. And it's not always easy. And sometimes I get sick in airports. And I miss my friends and family at home. And I think what I'm learning is that for every call, there's a unique sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't diminish the call. It actually, I think, validates the call. Is that every single one of us are called to something different and it will require a different type of sacrifice. And no sacrifice is more or less important than the other. But when we are called to follow Jesus, we are all called to some sort of sacrifice. You know, I love what I get to do. I love this privilege and this honor of getting to preach and speak and travel and meet some of the most incredible people I've ever met. And I think every person's call is beautiful. And it is going to require some sort of sacrifice. I was talking with a friend of mine recently who's also a young speaker and leader. We were kind of just finished a conference and we were all going out to like get lunch and we were this group of young speakers and we all kind of looked at each other and we said, can you believe we get to do this with our lives? Like it was this surreal moment, all of us young people in our 20s getting to travel and speak and preach the word of God. And then one person said like, yeah, this requires some sacrifice. But this is no matter what, like what I feel called to do and what I want to do with the rest of my life. And so I think for every person, no matter what your call is, we all have to come to a place where we say, yeah, there's sacrifice that is required for this call. But if we're truly in the center of God's will for our lives, then there's nothing else we'd rather do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that you felt called to do a handful of years ago was found an organization called Generation Distinct. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because I love Generation Distinct's mission. You really, like I said in the intro, you coach young people to discover the wrong they were born to make right.
Yeah.
So can you explain a little bit about what Generation Distinct is and some of the resources that you provide?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a nonprofit. So we started kind of building the vision about 4 years ago. And then 2 years ago, after like trying a lot of different things and just trying to figure out like what our generation is searching for and hungry for, became an official nonprofit 2 years ago and really clarified our vision and has been kind of going full steam ahead since then. And really everything we do is just built off this idea that young leaders want to live a life that matters, but so often they don't know how. And so we want to come alongside of them and show them what that means. And so we kind of exist to empower young leaders to, like what you said, to discover the wrong they're born to make right, which we believe actually leads them to experience who Jesus really is. Because as a young person myself, you know, I was watching so many of my peers walking away from the church. Mm-hmm. I was feeling this tension because for me, like the best part of my life, the most exciting, adventurous parts of my life had always been found in following Jesus. And so I saw this tension. I was like, what's going on? Why is my generation walking away from following the greatest revolutionary and leader and world changer of all times? Where is the disconnect? What I realized is that so often, the next generation is being told, we're being told that if we want to chase after our passions and change the world and shake things up, then we have to do that outside of the church, because the church is a place to stay safe and play it small and follow the rules. And so with Generation Distinct, we just want to really help our generation discover that when they uncover the wrong they were born to make right, that injustice, that issue, that wrong, and they start tackling it, they start living out their passion, they're going to encounter the one who actually gave them those passions. And so we do that kind of through this four-step strategy that we have. It's in the process of being built. So step one helps them own their potential, and that's an online video series they go through. Step two is a four-month coaching program that helps them craft their passion. And then step three is an online community called Find Your People. And that's just a place where world changers from around the country are getting to be connected and partner together and discover how they can build things that matter in community. And then step four will be kind of the step about Live Distinct that will really take it all from, you know, all step one, step two, step three, and culminate in a way of helping others now live distinct. So it's a strategy that's in place to really practically help young leaders discover the wrong they were born to make right and live a life that matters.
That's phenomenal. So where are you seeing people really grab onto this? Because so many of the leaders that we work with are the experienced seasoned leaders in cities who have discovered the wrong they were born to make right.
Yes.
And they're going after it.
Yes.
But then they realize, uh-oh, we need to pass off all these learnings to the next generation, but we haven't necessarily been walking side by side with them, or we don't really know where to find these leaders, or do they exist?
Yes.
So I'm just curious, like, who's really grabbing onto these resources? And then maybe what would you say to like an audience like these seasoned leaders who are saying, we want to integrate the next generation, but we're not really sure how?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had a pastor contact me recently and say, hey, like, I just want you to know that I'm so grateful for Generation Distinct, because, you know, they were meeting with all of these young leaders in their church, and over, they were having the very same conversation over a cup of coffee. They would say, you know, like, what's going on in your life? Like, what are you thinking about these days? And the young leader would look back at the pastor and say, I just want to discover my passion. Like, I just don't know what my purpose is. Like, I don't know what to do with my life. And that pastor felt a little bit helpless of how to really help them in a practical way. And then when they found Generation Distinct, they said they finally found a resource that they could give to their next generation of leaders to really equip them to discover what it is that God has called them to do. Mm-hmm. And so we have found that it's a great resource even for older leaders to pass on to the younger leaders in their communities, because they want to empower the next generation, but so often they just don't have the time or the capacity, or, you know, they don't want to recreate the wheel. And so we have developed this resource that we've found is really truly empowering young people to discover how they were uniquely born to change the world. And I think it's really important for older leaders to value that and to take seriously that that's the question that young people are asking. Because if we look at kind of the example of how Jesus led the disciples, we kind of notice, I believe, that Jesus knew some things about young leaders. And what I really often see in the invitation of Jesus, like when he walked up to those young leaders in the very beginning, right? Because the disciples, most theologians would agree, were probably in their late teens, early 20s. Some would even say as young as 12 years old. So we can say, okay, well, how did Jesus approach those young leaders? Like, how did he invite them to get involved? And two of the things that we kind of see in his invitation is that he really invited them to form this family to fight alongside. And then he also invited them to rebuild the ruptured parts of our world. And it's so true even today is that young people, we don't just want to like attend an event, right? Like we don't want to just like be half into something. No, we want to be invited to rebuild the ruptured parts of our world. We want to be invited to make wrong things right in our world. We want to be invited into a mission, not into an event, not even into a church. We want to be invited into a mission, a cause that's larger than ourselves. But we don't want to do it by ourselves. We want to do it with a family, right? Like someone that we can fight alongside. And so that's kind of the way that we've built Generation Distinct is, okay, we're going to help you discover the unique way you are called to rebuild the ruptured parts of our world. And then we're going to connect you with a family to fight alongside. And so I think if an older leader is listening to this saying, how do I engage younger people in my church? I would say, make sure you're not just inviting them into an event or into a church service. No, but you're inviting them into a mission, into a cause they can pour themselves into. And then you're helping them get connected, not just in a small group where they'll talk about, you know, a book, but where they'll actually be in the fight with people, where they'll be on mission together, and where they'll be really able to find a family.
I think that's so amazing, Hannah, because the language that you're using is different than what we typically hear about what the church is and what people who go to church do. And I think, you know, nothing to downplay, you know, the language that has been used. But I think as we go on in culture and as different generations come up, we need to be assessing how is the language we're using losing its power and how is the language we're using needing to be tweaked so that it's cast in a really compelling way.
Yes.
So I think you've kind of captured that really well.
Thanks.
As you talk to a lot of young leaders, what are those questions that you hear over and over again? Like, I just want to know this, or I'm wondering, you know, if I can walk with somebody as I wrestle through this question. What are some of those common questions you hear?
Yeah, I think a lot of the next generation are wondering, do I have what it takes? I often meet with young people who have so much vision, who have so much passion, who have so many ideas and dreams. When I say, okay, what's holding you back from actually getting started? They're really wondering, I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't know if I have the skills. I don't know if I really am ready, if I'm enough. And really, that's where I was as well when I received kind of what I feel like was the call from God to start Generation Distinct. I was 20 years old. And I didn't feel like I was ready. And like, let's be honest, I wasn't ready in any, you know, anybody's estimation. But I really felt like God invited me to get started at such a young age in order to use my life as an example to others that yes, in the midst of me being totally unqualified, the last person that people would expect to start an organization and to lead others was in itself a lesson to the other young leaders that would follow me to say, okay, even in the midst of not feeling qualified, even when I feel like I have nothing to offer, if the power of the Holy Spirit is alive within me, then I do have what it takes. And that even the craziest, biggest God-sized dream is possible because not I'm anything brilliant or bold or incredible, but simply because I serve a God who holds the entire world and strategy of the world in his hand. And if he wants to use me for even a piece of that, I have what it takes. And so I think a lot of the next generation are wondering, do I have what it takes? And I would just want to say to them, not because you have what it takes in and of itself, but because you serve a God who can give you everything you need.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because I was at a conference last year talking about multi-generational leadership. So we had these young leaders who were really passionate, and then we had these older, mature, seasoned leaders. Mm. And the younger leaders were saying, we want to be mentored. Yes. And the older leaders were saying, we don't know how to communicate that we want to mentor others. And it's almost like, hey, in an awkward middle school dance, come together in the middle.
Yes.
Because this younger generation just wants to know, we believe in you. You can do it. And this older generation doesn't need to worry, do I have anything to say? Like, what would, you know, it's like, we need each other. And I want to shift to talking about that multi-generational component, because I know you don't just talk to younger generations.
Yeah.
Really value and honor those who have gone before. Mm. So can you talk to us about the impact of multi-generational leadership in your life?
Absolutely. I think so many young leaders are hungry for the influence or the mentorship of older people. But I think in some ways we're afraid to ask for it, you know? And so I have seen the greatest growth, the greatest move of God in my life in the moments, not when somebody else approached me to mentor me, but when I stood up and I said, hey, will you be a voice in my life? Can I learn from you? Can I fly across the country just to have an hour of your time and meet with you because you're a leader I respect? And I think so often in this generation, if we're honest, we can admit that we can be sometimes an entitled generation, right? And so sometimes we expect people to come to us. And we can say, man, nobody's mentoring me. No one's feeding into me. Where are they all at? And I just think it's time for younger leaders to get over that and to step up and take ownership of the growth that they're longing to experience. It's not anybody else's job to give you the growth that you are longing for. It's our responsibility. And so I believe that when God has called us into a vision, he hasn't called us to do it by ourselves. He calls us to look around and say, man, who has God already placed in my life that I can partner with and learn from? And what I also have observed is that so many times older leaders who are more established are used to younger leaders sitting down with them and asking something from them. And early on in my leadership, not because I knew what I was doing, but because it just kind of happened, I would reach out to older leaders and say, hey, when you have like 15 or 30 minutes, I can stop by your office. I'm going to bring 5 leadership questions. I'm going to just ask you how I can grow as a leader. And so many of them would say yes. I would show up at their office. I can think of one leader in particular who has a huge platform. And he welcomed me into his office. And I sat down with my little list of leadership questions. And I rattled them off. You know, how can I be a better leader? What do you wish you would have known as a younger leader? How can I improve my communication skills? At the end of our 20 or 30 minute meeting, he looked at me and said, okay, so now what's the ask? And I responded, no, I'm not asking anything from you. I don't want your money. I don't need your endorsement. I literally just want to learn from you. And his posture towards me even softened more. And he has become a huge advocate for me in my ministry because I wasn't there to ask something from him. No, I was there to honestly learn. And I think the older generation gets excited to pour into next generation leaders who simply want to learn. And so I think for us as young leaders, we need to start pursuing the growth that we are longing to experience. It's not anybody else's job to do it for us. It's our job to pursue it. And then show up in a posture of learning, in humility, and ready to receive wisdom and not to convince, not to ask, or not to glean off of what they've already built.
That's fantastic. I love that posture of learning that you walked into those meetings with and that initiative. Mm. I think that's a really key learning. Mm. So Hannah, I know you also really care about collaboration.
Yeah.
And this is a buzzword. I mean, we hear it thrown around a lot, but what does collaboration mean to you?
Yeah. I think collaboration at its core is about inviting more voices to the table. And I think if we look at great leaders, we see leaders who understand that their perspective is not always truth. And so often, I think we can get ahead of ourselves. We can get to unhealthy places in our leadership when we start to believe this lie that whatever we think, whatever we feel is reality. And what prevents us from getting to that place is inviting more voices to the table. And that when I, as a young leader, sit down at a table with an older leader, and when an older leader invites the perspective of a younger leader, when a male listens to a female's perspective and a female listens to a male's perspective, when somebody of different, you know, racial backgrounds or ethnicities sit down at the same table and say, hey, I admit that my perspective is not the end of the conversation, that I have something to learn. I think collaboration is when we admit we don't have the full picture. We actually need each other. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that God has given us, is that we actually don't have the full picture. And that's a beautiful gift, because it forces us and compels us into places where we sit down and we fight for unity. We say collaboration matters more than me thinking I'm right. And I've seen some beautiful examples of that. Leaders that I've gotten to observe and see who have spoken to me and taught me what collaboration really actually looks like. One of my leaders that I love that has just been a huge influence in my life is Danielle Strickland. And she is truly a leader who collaborates at such a high level. When I watch her, you know, build her visions, when I've observed her even sitting around a dinner table and just dreaming about what's next, the people that she invites into those conversations have a diversity of backgrounds and experiences and places they're from and ideas. And she is not a leader that claims she knows what's best. She is a leader who is strong because of the magnitude of voices she brings in to contribute to that vision. And that's the kind of leader I want to be as well. And I believe if we're ever going to see unity in the church, then we need to be a next generation of leaders who are committed to collaboration. And I think this can get really practical. Like if we look at our staff teams of our churches or organizations, is everybody in the same season of life? Is everybody the same gender? Is everybody the same racial background? Does everybody have the same political views, right? Like what if we just said in our organizations, in our churches, on our staffs, no, we're going to invite diverse perspectives, because collaboration means I'm not claiming that my perspective is truth. And God has given unique gifts of perspective to each person. And we're stronger when we're unified and we bring those perspectives together.
I think you're communicating like this new normal that like so many of us are like aching for, who are either listening to this podcast or part of this community, because we want to see unity and collaboration be, just the way we do things around here with the church, right? Yes. So that younger generations don't know that division has been, you know, that descriptor of the church, but they're like, no, the church is the most collaborative community in the city.
Exactly. You know? And I think we're on the brink of that, because what is so exciting about the next generation is Gen Z, you know, is really growing up in America with diversity as normal. Like statistics say they're the first generation that will walk into a room, and if it's not diverse, they'll notice it, because diversity has become so normal. Yes. And so as the next generation becomes the leaders of our churches, churches are naturally going to become more collaborative and more unified, because it's what we're longing for. And so I just get so excited when I think, okay, we are the next wave of the church, I believe, is going to be the most unified, collaborative, diverse kind of church we've ever seen.
I love that. And I think that one of the things you've also posted on social media is, or I think it was an article that you wrote for the Global Leadership Network.
Yeah.
You were talking about how you spoke at a university and then a young woman came up to you afterwards and she's like, oh my gosh, like seeing you up there helps me accept this calling that I've had to speak and to lead because I saw you as an example. And so I'm wondering, you know, especially when we talk about voices at the table, whether they're more women, whether it's from different ethnic or socioeconomic backgrounds, what do you see it's going to take to guide us in that new normal? Like, what are those other examples that need to be seen so that other people say, yes, this is the way we're going. This is the new normal.
Yes, yes. I think it is going to take a few different things. I think in its simplest form, I think it's going to take people who are truly called to lead and to influence and to speak to simply rise up and stop waiting for somebody to give them permission to do so. I think oftentimes, especially the next generation, what I hear a lot of is, you know, I will do that one day as soon as dot, 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 right? Or as long as they make space for me or when I'm invited to do so. And I think in some ways, we need to realize as the next generation that the very moment we were placed on this earth was the moment that we were invited to say yes, that God's calling is not contingent on the people around us. Rather, if God has called us, if he has given us a vision, he has already equipped us with everything we need to say yes. And so I dream of the day when I'm not the exception as a 24-year-old woman who's speaking and leading, but that that's normal. And I think what it takes is for other women to step up and say yes too. And if I can be used as even a little bit of an example of what it could look like to say yes, then I feel like that's an honor. Because I know I don't have anything that special. Like, I'm not that radical. I'm not that unique. I'm really not that gifted. I simply believe that I said yes when God called. And if we're going to see a world where every person is stepping into their calling, where every person is represented, where the body of Christ is looking beautiful and radiant and diverse, it's going to take the next generation of leaders to stop waiting for somebody to give them permission or to invite them, but simply to just step up and say yes, and to enter into those spaces and to blaze trails and to knock down some walls and to do things totally different. And if we do, we will be blazing trails for the next generation of leaders, and maybe it will be a little bit easier for them. And then the next generation of leaders will be a little bit easier for them. And we're going to create a different kind of narrative. And maybe 100 years from now, it will be normal for leaders to be diverse and for there to be a beautiful array of colors and shapes and sizes and visions of leadership.
Yeah, so just say yes. I love that. You being born was the invitation from God to go all in.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Hannah, as we wind down, I'm just curious, are there any last words you just want to give to this mm-hmm. audience, many whom are leaders in cities, they may be pastors or business leaders, nonprofit directors, who mm-hmm. have a passion for their city,
yeah.
and a heart for the church to be unified. Any last words you want to give them, encouragement?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we stand at a really important time in history where there's a lot that is coming to the surface. I think in a beautiful and also difficult way, finally, we're at this point in our world where a lot of injustice and false narratives and toxic patterns are coming to the surface. And it's painful in some ways to see what's going on in our world. But actually, I feel a great amount of hope in that. Because I think what's exposed is able to be brought into the light, and then it's able to be changed. And so I actually see that the future of our world, the future of the church, is so bright because we're finally addressing some of the toxic patterns that have existed, and we're starting to change because of it. And I think the next generation of leaders, they're tired of the old ways of doing things. They're tired of covering things up. They want authentic. They want real. They want transparent. And so I get excited because of that. I get excited because I believe that the next move of the church in our cities, in your city, in my city, is that there's going to be a next generation of leaders who are all in, who are admitting, I'm not perfect, I'm messy, but I want to live in a different kind of way, and I want to bring people with me, and I want to really change the narrative. And so I think it's going to be painful right now as we uncover some of the evil and the wrong and the injustice in our world. But I think it's going to make a church that is more beautiful, more real, more invitational to people. And I think it's going to change the narrative of even Christianity. And I believe in the next few years, we're going to see a version of the church that appears, that truly lives out this idea that Jesus lived out of come as you are, and we'll help you not stay as you are. And so I would just encourage, if you're a leader in the church, if you're a leader in your city, it's okay to address the mess of your city. It's okay to be burdened by it. And in fact, I think we need to be really humbled by what's going on. And do not lose hope, because it's out of the midst of struggle and brokenness that the most beautiful movements emerge. And I have every hope that that is what we're going to see in the local church in our cities next.
Hannah Gronowski, thank you so much. You just brought fire, like so encouraging. We definitely want to stay in touch with you. I know people are going to want to learn more about Generation Distinct. Yes. Stay in touch with your socials. So can you give us, where can we contact you? Where can we reach out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can visit generationdistinct.com, or you can join the 4-step journey if you're a young leader yourself, or recommend it to other young leaders in your community. You can also go to hannahgronowski.com, where you can see what cities I'll be speaking in. Maybe I'll be in a city near you soon. And then on Instagram, you can find me at hannah.gronowski, and Twitter, and all those things. If you want more content, you can listen to the Generation Distinct podcast, where I interview other leaders, and just lots of great content for you guys to keep up with.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Hannah. It was such a privilege to talk to you.
Thanks so much.
That was such a good conversation. To stay in touch with the latest content, just remember to subscribe. That is the best and easiest way to stay in touch with the City Gospel Movement's content. And Kaden?
Yes, and please, if you want to keep this conversation going, DM us on Instagram at City Gospel Movements.
We love hearing from you.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world. For more resources, show notes, and to get connected to gospel movements around the globe, visit citygospelmovements.org. That's citygospelmovements.org. Keep believing in what God can do in your city.